Luke chapter 9. And I would encourage you to go home and read the whole entire chapter. There's a lot going on here in this particular chapter, a lot of things. And then if you want to go read John's version of this, and I may make reference to John's version just a little bit later on, but there's a miracle that is in the making, one of the greatest miracles that Jesus ever performed, affecting so many. And God had a way of sometimes touching the one, the individual. And I love it when He touches us as an individual. But in this particular case, He was ministering to the masses. And I would love today for the Lord to just minister to the entire congregation today through this word. And let me begin to read in verse number 10. The apostles, when they were returned, told Him, speaking of Jesus, all that they had done. And He took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Now, the reason that the apostles came back telling Him everything that they had done is because He had just empowered them to go do miracles. And he said, I want you to go to all the surrounding areas around here and lay your hands on the sick. They're going to recover. And that's what they'd been doing. The apostles had been going here and there, and people were being healed, and all kinds of miracles were taking place. And now they had come back to where Jesus was, and there was quite a following, quite a crowd of people that had gathered around. The people, when they knew it, followed Him, and He received them. He said, come on, let's go. And He spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto Him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals. Now, there's a word you don't hear much these days. Let's go get some victuals, Ma. Some victuals. Get something to eat. They may go find some food, for we are here in a desert place. But Jesus looked at him and He said, give ye them to eat. And I'm sure the disciples started reaching in their pocket. I thought I had an old piece of bread here somewhere. Where's that half a Snickers bar that I saved till later? Nope. Oh, that's right. I ate that this morning. Nobody saves a Snickers bar. If you can eat a half a Snickers bar, you're an amazing person. And so they said, we don't have anything. He said, go search. And so they did, and they found this little boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And said, maybe we should go and buy meat for all this people. And there's about 5,000 men, and that doesn't include the women and children that were there. And he said to his disciples, well, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. Everybody say all filled. They were all filled. Nobody went away hungry. Everybody had plenty to eat. And there was taken up of fragments, leftovers. We don't call them fragments. That just sounds kind of disgusting. Hey, you want some, what are we having tonight for supper? Oh, fragments. Leftovers doesn't sound that great either. We need a new name for leftovers. Fragments of last night's supper. 12 baskets of fragments. 12 baskets of leftovers. Amen. 12 baskets of bread and fish. I'm going to hit this from just a little bit of a different... I'm going to key in on the bread today. And I've titled this message, Fed by Broken Bread. Fed by broken bread. The Bible says that Jesus looked up into the heavens. He blessed what He had in His hands. Then He broke it. And then the people ate. Fed by broken bread. I don't know of anything in this world. They have foods that they call comfort foods. They've given them a specific title. And basically, you know, I never knew what that was up until a few years ago. I had an idea, but I guess comfort foods are things that just remind you of home. Comfort foods are those meals that they serve that are just down home cooking, you know. When I think of comfort foods, I don't think of real fancy type meals. I think of mashed potatoes and gravy. My wife and I had a gift certificate to Cracker Barrel, and we stopped by there last week, and they were promoting certain types of food. And so I had an open-faced roast beef on sourdough bread with big heaping piles of mashed potatoes and gravy right next to it. Now, it does a number on my waistline, but I'll tell you what, it just felt great. I had a big cup of coffee and a tall glass of water to go along with it, and it was just a phenomenal meal. And when we got done with it, I just felt good, you know. It just comforted me. It made me feel wonderful. And I'm thinking of all the foods that are out there. I don't know of anything in this world that brings a sense of warmth and comfort like a house filled with the aroma of fresh baked bread. Does anybody here still make homemade bread? 1, 2, 3. We've got 4. 4 people. There's got to be 100 plus people in here today, and we've got 4 people, 4 houses in this entire church. I should have had somebody bake bread here today, this morning, and fill this entire church up with the aroma of bread. But I've got a feeling I would lose you. Your concentration would not be upon the message this morning because your stomachs would begin to rumble. There's nothing that smells to me more like a feeling of comfort than walking through the door and smelling the smell of fresh baked bread. It wasn't that long ago that I can remember going to Walmart and different department stores, and they were promoting these bread makers, and all you had to do was put your stuff together and throw it in that bread maker and walk away from it and come back a little bit later, and you had a fresh loaf of homemade bread piping hot and ready to go. Now we have bakers that have become artists. I've got a couple pictures up here to show you some things that some people do with bread. That's a beautiful work of art. Have you ever heard somebody say, "That's so pretty, that's too pretty to eat"? Isn't that something right there? There's another one up here that is just a beautiful loaves of looks like French bread to me. It's glistening. Somebody has taken butter and swiped it across the top of that. Actually, that's probably varnish for the picture. It's probably not even edible. They've just made it look good by putting something inedible and ruining that. But to our eye, it's very appealing, and we look at that bread, and you can go down to the stores here in town and find on the shelf. You can find those loaves of beautifully baked bread fresh out of the oven. They've not been on the shelf very long. And if you take that home and set it out for display, people may even come by and say, "Oh, that looks really good. That looks very tasty. It's beautiful." But let me tell you this morning, bread is just bread. Bread is nothing more than a visual enticement. But in order for bread to fulfill its purpose, it can be as beautiful as anything that you've ever seen in your life. You can smell the aroma, but before it can ever reach your body, before it can ever bring nutrition, first the bread must be broken. What I read this morning is a piece of church history that most of us are acquainted with. Jesus takes a small amount of food and feeds thousands of people. I fed just a handful of about 10 or 12 the other night and went through quite an ordeal. Spent several hours just prepping, and I didn't even go through the I went out and bought most of it. I didn't have to prepare the bread. I didn't have to smoke the meat and pull it off the bone. I didn't have to do all that. Somebody else did that for me. Can you imagine what they would have had to do in order to feed all these people? But here we find where this small boy comes in with five loaves of bread and two fish. And I love to preach on how Jesus made sure that nobody left hungry that day, and how marvelous it must have been to see this massive miracle unfold as the food just kept coming and coming. You want more? There's seconds. There's plenty. And the disciples are looking at everything. They're like, you know what? At first we thought we wouldn't have enough, but now we've got more than enough. We're now at the point where we know that there is plenty of food. As a matter of fact, we're going to have to take a bunch home with us. They began to gather up all the leftovers. Everybody left full, and that's all true. That's all good. And like so many other happenings that took place at the hands of Jesus, this goes deeper. If we'll just slow down enough to dig into it just a little bit more than just the superficial exterior of the message. You see, it's so easy for us to read a few scriptures and feel like we have a handle on what's going on in the story. But it's kind of like going down to the carnival and looking through a little peephole, a little knot hole in the fish. Amen. And thinking that you've been at the carnival, you're just getting a bird's eye view when you do this. But when we can really delve into what was taking place, when we can really begin to understand what was going on behind the scenes, the Bible can speak to us in such a real way. It tells us that Jesus had a massive amount of people that had followed him into the desert to hear him and just to be with him, and they followed the disciples there. You want to see the one that empowered us to do these miracles? Well, we're going back to him. Why don't you come along? Many of them were sick and had afflictions of one sort or another. And so he took the opportunity, he took the moment to preach to them about the kingdom of heaven. And then he healed everybody, the Bible says, that had a need. Must have been an incredible thing. I think it would be amazing today if every person that walked into here, into this service today, walked with a need, walked out with your need met. I think it would be an amazing thing if people that were in wheelchairs and people that had canes and walkers and people that had aches and pains in their body could come up here today and we would pray for them and every single one would have their need met. Would that not be an incredible thing? It may have been the miracles that brought them into the desert, but it was not the miracle that kept them there when their bodies became hungry. You can only watch the show for so long. You can only be entertained for so long. You can only sit and see people receive miracles for so long. And then the old body begins to rumble down in the midsection and your stomach begins to get hunger for something real. Which brings me to my first point today. Jesus took the loaves and the fish and he did what most of us do here today when we get ready to eat. He blessed it. He prayed over it. We love it when Jesus blesses us, don't we? When he takes us in his hand and we come to church and we feel the blessing of God and the tears roll and we feel good. We love the blessing. Matter of fact, we become addicted to the blessing. To feel the touch of his hand, to know that we are getting ready to see a miracle or feel the power that comes from the presence of Almighty God. Multiply it, Jesus. Make my blessing grow. Enlarge my territory. Fix my need. Destroy my enemies. And on we go. And we're content to skip over what took place between the blessing and the multiplication of the miracle. But between the blessing and the multiplying, between the blessing and the miracle, there was some breaking that was taking place. And without the brokenness, without the blessing, the miracle could have never come.
Yes, Lord, yes.
This is the part where we all go silent. Oh, I thought he was going to preach about miracles. I'm telling you, you cannot skip over certain things and get to other places in God. And one of those things that we have to deal with is to be broken in the hands of the Savior. First, Jesus blesses, but before the massive multiplication, there first had to be a breaking. And this is where most decide that they're satisfied over here in the blessing zone. It feels good just to come and get blessed. But now you're talking about me having to be broken. Lord, I want you to touch me. I want to see you hold the loaf up into the air like Simba. You know, Jesus is standing on the edge of the cliff. Halloween, yeah. He's about to do something. He wouldn't be showing us this. He wouldn't be touching. He wouldn't be blessing this if he didn't have something in mind. We're about ready to get fed. I wonder how he's going to do it. Miracle after miracle has taken place. Surely there's another miracle that's getting ready to happen when all of a sudden Jesus takes the thing that he's going to use for the miracle, but before he just hands him a full loaf of bread, he breaks the bread, and it's only when it's broken that it begins to multiply. Can I tell you something this morning? If you want to be used by God, if you want God to take your life, if you want God to use your life, if you want God to take you and multiply you, to do something great for him, you have to be able to be broken in his hands before he can multiply your efforts in his kingdom. We don't like the broken part, but they were fed by broken bread. The disciples said, "We can't feed them and they're hungry." And Jesus said, "Feed them." With what? Whatever you can find, bring it to me. Just feed them. Okay. I can see them now. You know, we're going through a lot of trouble. Town's not that far away. Service has been dragging on for a little while. I mean, the Bible already said that he healed everybody that had a need. Why don't we just call it a day? Why don't we just send everybody home? Why don't we just say that's good enough? You've healed everybody here that has a need. They've followed us out. They know that you're the Messiah. You've spoken certain things to them. You've let them know about the kingdom of God. Why don't we just not drag this thing out? It's going to be too much trouble, and I know that there's nobody here that has enough food to feed all these people. Let's just go home. Let's not deal with the brokenness. Let's not fool around. Let's just be satisfied with the blessing. Am I plowing too deep this morning? Are we okay? Everybody all right here? This is necessary because we can get addicted to the blessing. We can get addicted to the whole loaf. We can get addicted to the beauty of the unbroken loaf of bread and look at it and say, "It's too pretty. Let's not break it. But until it's broken, it cannot be passed out. Nobody gets fed by unbroken bread. The bread has to be broken. And we can sit here and have church till Jesus Christ comes back, and we can have a full house of people, and we can all be satisfied with coming in with our blessing. But I believe that God is calling Landmark to a place of brokenness. I believe he's calling us to a place where we're willing to go down on our knees and say, God, I'm not going to get up until you multiply us into what you want us to be. I believe that God has more for us. But we'll never get there until we let him deal with the breaking that must take place in us. What do we do? Just got a meager little lunch from this little boy. You tell me you're going to take that kid's lunch? That's not ours. That's his. One mother. If Sue Rice would have lived back in that day, that would have been Doug Rice. She would have made sure her boy had a sack lunch. You're not going out there to listen to Jesus talk. I don't care how many miracles he does. You're going to take a sack lunch. And you watch when you cross the street. Don't forget your lunch. Mom, I'm not even hungry. I just had breakfast. But you might be. My sister's here today. She knows I'm telling the truth. My mama took care of us. She made sure that my lunch bucket had the good stuff in it. Eric Graham, you can remember that. We'd be sitting over there painting, and the Graham boys and their dad would open up their lunch boxes, and then I would open up my lunch box, my Sue Rice lunch box, and they would look over at me like, oh, man, want to trade? Is there anything in? And they're like, well, there'll probably be more than enough, you know. And I had the best lunches in town. There was a Sue Rice double back in the day that sent that little boy off, and because one mother cared enough to take care of her child and not let him go out and be hungry, 5,000 plus people were fed by a small little miracle. Don't tell me that God can't take what little that you have to offer Him and multiply it, but it'll never be multiplied with our wrong attitudes. It'll never be broken and multiplied with our own humanity. It's only when we're broken that God can take us and use us the way that He wants to use us. You see, we get satisfied feeling like we've done our part because we came and we got blessed and we saw other people get blessed. But Jesus understands that it takes more than a blessing to satisfy the hungry. A blessing is great, but there's got to be something deeper. The blessing is superficial. It's a perk. It's a feel good. Thank God for the blessings. I enjoy the blessings when I feel the presence of God and I've worshiped Him and the tears have rolled and maybe I've shouted a little bit. Maybe I've jumped with the music and I just leave here and I feel good about what God has done. And those things are all good. But let me tell you something. Until I get something deep down in my gut that begins to fill up an empty part of who I am, and with Him, boy, I must decrease and He must increase. That means I've got to empty myself out. That means I've got to let some things go. That means I've got to be broken in some areas so He can mend and fill me with what He wants to fill me with. Beautiful bread never fed anyone. It's the bread that is broken that feeds the hungry. I've asked God before, God, how come people come, they walk through our doors, and man, they compliment us. They tell us, the music was awesome. I love to hear your preaching. I love, and your guys can preach and all this and all that. But then I don't see them again. I'm thinking, God, it's going to take more than being talented. It's going to take more than even just me studying. I need to study. It's going to take more than a good sermon. God, there's got to be something inside of me that breaks inside of me. And I'm searching for it. I'm telling you that much right now. I want to be a little bit transparent. I've not got there yet. There's some things in me that God is dealing with. Some things that I really don't want to let go of, that He's saying, you know what? If you want to really be used of God, you've got to let me shape you a little bit more. But God, I don't want to be broken. I feel beautiful the way I am. I feel like I've got things together and the church house is full. He said, no, there's still one more miracle that needs to take place. Amen. You can't send all these people home just blessed. You've got to be able to be broken before them in my hands, and so that you can fill them up with something that will satisfy them. You see, the bread was to nourish them so that they could make the trip home. God, if I preach and preach and preach and people come to the altar, they're even filled with the Holy Ghost and we baptize them left and right, and yet they don't make heaven their home. We've got to be able to give them something that gets them all the way through the journey till they make it home. It's not just about making somebody feel good. It's not even just about helping them overcome an addiction or some problem in their life or get their marriage back together or get something fixed inside of them spiritually. It's got to be deeper than that. There's got to be something that we're able to offer them that sustains them for the trip home. God, work in me. Work in me, God. Work in me, God. Work in me, God. It's so easy to become satisfied with the blessing. But nobody was fed with the blessing. They were fed with broken bread. I'm finished. I gotta wrap this up. I gotta stop. I've got more in my notes, but I feel the Lord calling us There's some people here today that you fully understand and comprehend. There's a hunger inside of you that you're resonating with what I'm saying, because you realize that God is wanting to call you into some deeper areas in Him, and you've not quite known maybe how to even get there, and you've thought the same thing that I have thought. Well, church is good, and I feel the Lord, and God has been good, and He's even performed all kinds of miracles, and God has been there all the way through, but there's something inside of you that's calling you deeper. There's something inside of you that says, maybe God has just one more thing for me. Maybe there's another miracle that God wants to take me in His hand and use me with. And you've wondered, what is the missing piece? We're not backslidden. We're not lost. We're serving God. But there's a hunger that's left that's not yet been filled in some today. You've seen the miracles. You've heard the message about the kingdom. You look around and you can tell the sun's going down. It's getting kind of late. This world's wrapping up. And somewhere along in all of that, there's some part of you that's just not satisfied, and you can't understand why. You love God. You never miss church. You pay your tithes. You give in the offering. You do everything right. You know He's real. You've seen His power. But there's something calling you this morning. Would you stand? There's something calling you this morning. Could it be that Jesus is saying, I'm not satisfied just to bless you. I want to feed you. I want to fill you, but I can't do it until we've first been broken in His hands. Nobody's going to run the aisles today, but I wonder how many today would not be ashamed to just walk up and fill these altars. I'm not going to beg you today. See, I can't impress you anymore. You've seen too much. You've been in the presence of Jesus too much. What I'm preaching is not an easy thing this morning. As a matter of fact, John records it. When Jesus began to call them out, right after this took place, the gathering of people was there. Jesus began to preach to them a message of commitment. He started talking about, now I am the bread of life. I've come from heaven. And they began to look at Jesus and say, what do you think you are? He said, I'm calling you to a place of commitment. I'm calling you to a place of brokenness. But when He opened His eyes, they were all gone. Because nobody wants to deal with the brokenness. He finally turns and he looks at his disciples and he says, where did everybody go? He said, well, what you said was kind of a hard thing, Lord. You want them to commit. And they're just here for the perks. You're calling them to sacrifice, and they've just taken their blessing and ran. He said, are you going to leave me too? Am I going to be left all alone? One disciple spoke up. He said, where will we go? Where would I go, God? I've got no place to go. For it's not the miracles that are going to get us to heaven, but God, you've given us the words of eternal life. It's the brokenness. It's the willingness to lay down everything, pick up my cross and follow you. That's going to get us there. I pray we always have miracles. I pray the Spirit of Almighty God is always moving in our midst. But I also pray that we're never fearful enough that we refuse to be satisfied with simply being blessed. And we walk away when the Lord asks us if we're willing to be broken. This altar's open.